We live in a world that is skeptical. We live in a world that there is a large percentage of our country who does not believe in God, does not believe in absolute truth, does not believe the Bible is a book that is trustworthy, and does not believe that the Bible is a book of law, nor is it inspired, nor is it a book written by God. In these series of lessons, we're going to try to establish by the evidence contained within the scripture of the truthfulness. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so I want to talk about in the beginning. In the beginning, God. And that's where I want us to focus our attention this morning. In the beginning, there was God. Since He is the Creator God, God does not need to be created. God was not something that was created. Things with a beginning have a cause. Your life and your parents' life, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, all had a beginning. If you go out to the cemetery, you will see two things on every headstone. You may see a lot of other things, but there's two things that are going to be pretty consistent. You're going to see a day born and a day of death. You're going to see birth and death. Those are consistent because they had a beginning and they had an ending. You were caused to come into this world. We were brought into this world by our parents. We were brought in by a flesh and blood relationship. Every birthday that you celebrate is a birthday that celebrates your entrance into the world, the time that you became a living being, the time that you began to exist here on earth. However, God had no beginning. He has no birthday. There's no God who made the world and everything in it, since He is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell with temple made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling, so that we should seek the Lord in hope that we might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. In John chapter 1, and in verse number 18, the apostle John would write, in verse 18, no one is seen born at any time, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And so one of the reasons that God's Son was sent to this earth, besides dying, that was his main reason, but another reason that he was sent here is to declare the existence of God, to make men understand there is a God. He is not a myth. He is not a legend. He's not a fabrication of men's mind. He is real. God exists. And the reason that God exists is why we exist. We don't do anything for God that he needs. The need is on our part. We're the one that need him. You remember what we just read? In him we live and move and have our being. We exist because God allows us to exist. We continue to live because God allows it. We continue to draw breath because God allows it. We continue to enjoy the things of this world because God allows it. And at any time, the one who created it can take it away. He has that power. And he has that right. In Genesis, the book of Genesis, if you don't know what that word means in the Hebrew, it means beginnings. Everything begins in the book of Genesis. Every New Testament writer referenced the book of Genesis. Do you realize that? All 27 books of the Bible make some reference to the book of Genesis. Nearly every New Testament book references some event or person or thing in the book of Genesis. Over 100 passages in the New Testament are a direct reference to Genesis. What does that tell us? That tells us that Genesis is true. It tells us that Jesus and the apostles and the inspired writers believed everything that was contained in the book of Genesis was absolute truth. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? I want you to understand that everything that we know and everything that we believe hinges on this one fact. God is alive. Nothing that you believe, nothing that you can do, and nothing you hope to enjoy in life can ever come to fruition if that fact is not true. Everything we know about life, everything we know about our relationship with Christ, everything we hope in the future, in our eternity, none of it can be expressed, and none of it can be believed, and none of it can ever be achieved if God does not exist. God is the beginning. He is the beginning of all things. And if we don't believe that, then life will have no meaning, will have no purpose, will have no direction. And that's why many people in life have no purpose. They have no direction. They have no understanding because they deny the existence of God. Does God exist? We are living proof. We are the living evidence that God exists. The fact that we are here, the fact that we're breathing, the fact that we live on this planet, the fact that we can live and enjoy life on this planet is a evidence that God does exist. And that, from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now this is false if God does not exist. It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means that everything begins and ends with God. And if God is not real, then the Scriptures are false. Then they don't equip us to every good work. Then they're not inspired. Then they're not authority. Then they're not law. And why do you think people are trying to destroy the concept of God? Why do you think people do that? Why do you think people try to deny the existence of God? Because they want to deny that they have accountability. They want to deny that there's a day of reckoning. They want to deny that they have to give an answer for their life. They don't believe it, nor do they want to believe it. But to enable to make them believe that and to accept it as truth, they have to deny that God is real, that God exists. But the problem is, without God, you don't have any meaning of life. You don't have any purpose in life. You don't have any direction in life. You have no understanding about the questions of life. How did you get here? Why are you here? Where are you going? If you take God out of this answer, then you are just aimlessly wandering through life with no purpose, with no goal, with no aim, and with no answers. If there is not a God. But I'm going to tell you, we don't aimlessly walk around. And our lives have purpose. And they have meaning. And everything in this universe cries and gives testimony that God is real and that God exists. But it's man that has to accept it. Man's got to accept the evidence. It's not because the evidence is not there. Man do not deny the existence of God because there's no evidence, because there's no evidence to express that he exists. That's not why he doesn't believe it. He doesn't believe it because he doesn't want to believe it, because he denies the evidence. Can men deny evidence? Sure they can deny evidence. And that's what men do. They deny the evidence that is all around them. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Lessons from this very first verse will give us great insight into the existence of God. Time. Time, as we know it, had a beginning. There was a beginning of time. When did time begin? When God created it. Time had a beginning. In Titus chapter 1, and in verse number 2, the scripture says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Time, as we know it, had a beginning. And it had a beginning for us when life on earth began. But time existed prior to God creating the world. Time did not exist in our hemisphere until God created it. But time had a beginning because God has always been. You see, God lived in the eternal realm. That's the realm we're hoping to get to. He resides in the eternal realm, in the realm that has always been, in the beginning, one of the dimensions of our universe. They only move forward in it, but identified in three ways. Past. You know, there's past history. There's things that we can remember. I'm 61 years old, but I can remember things from my childhood. Those are things that are real. Those are things that have happened. Those are things of my past. Those are part of past history. And then I have the present. I have what I'm living in now. What am I experiencing now? I live in the present, but I also have a past. And if God hopes, I can have a future. That's an anticipation. That's a fear. That's a hope. I hope that I get up in the morning. I hope I have another day of life. I hope I come back this evening. Those are things that I'm not guaranteed of. Those are things that I don't know. It's only because God that I have a future. But you know the truth of the matter is, without God, you have no past, you have no present, you have no future. If God does not exist, then you and I would not be able to move in these three dimensions. But men move in these three dimensions because these three dimensions are those things that exist because God allows them. We've experienced the past. We live in the present. We hope for the future. But God has control over all three. Past, present, and the future. He's existed in all three realms. God in the beginning was God's creator. God was not, you ever said God was created in the beginning? In the beginning God created, but God was not created. God did not create himself. But God in the beginning was God created. That's not what it said. God existed before time began. God comes from the Hebrew word Elohim. They teach us that plurality of persons in the Godhead. God is more than one person. The triune of God, the Father God, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They all enjoy the same classification. And let me assure you that no one else is in this company. No one else will ever enter this company. These are three beings that are supreme, that have no equal. And no one will ever be in the position that these three beings are in. You know, one of the most popular religions today among us is New Age. You know what New Age says? That we're all gods, we're just little gods. And over time, we grow and we evolve into being on equal plateau with God. How's that possible? How's that possible? How's that possible that you and I, who have a beginning, who have an ending, how can we ever be like God? You know what God did? He spoke the world into existence. Let there be light. I got to flip a switch. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Can man ever have that kind of power? Can man create something out of nothing? Can man do that? Can man exist in the eternal realm? He can't until he dies. He's got to die to be able to exist in the eternal realm. God's always existed. In John chapter 17, and in verse number 5, what does the scripture say? In John 17 and verse 5, this is Jesus praying before he is betrayed. He says, oh now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory I had with you before the world was. You mean the Son existed in the world before the world was created? That's what Jesus said. In chapter 20, in verse 17, the scripture says, Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But I go to my brethren and say to them, I ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. You see, the Father was God. He's addressed, he is God according to his Son in Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, But to the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. In Hebrews chapter 1, God in various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. But he has spoken to us in these last days by his Son. And when you turn to the book of Genesis, I'm going to show you God was there, God the Son was there, and God the Holy Spirit was there. All three were present at creation. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was baptized while he was on earth in Matthew 17, in Matthew chapter 3, you had the Father, you had the Son, and you had the Spirit. The Son went into the water, the Spirit descended on him like a dove, and the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son." That's three persons who are one God. Now that's hard for us to get our mind around. In Genesis 1, when we get to the rest of the chapter, we're going to see that when man was created, he says, "Let us make man in our image." Our is a word of plurality. That's a plural word. Did the translators make a mistake? No, they didn't make a mistake. God is in plurality. When Ananias and Sapphira lied about the money in Acts 5, he said, you've lied to the Holy Spirit, and he concurred that lying to the Holy Spirit was lying to what? Lying to God. See, the Holy Spirit's God. The Son's God. And the Father's God. The Father didn't die on the cross. The Son did. And the Son didn't reveal the truth, all the truth. The Holy Spirit did. And the Father was the one that directed the whole thing. Each one had a role. Each one had a purpose. But they all worked together in order to bring about God's plan that he made before the world began. God was not created. The Son was not created. The Holy Spirit was not created. They are God. Therefore, by definition, they have always existed. Created. What does created mean? It tells us the original energy source for the creation. What is the energy source that created life? The thing that created life was power. What power? What power? What infinite power brought this world into existence? Oh, the Big Bang Theory. The cosmic, the great explosion in the air. Now all the particles came together and bam, here we are. That's what happened. If you believe that, I've got oceanfront property in Vegas, I'll sell you. You see, it didn't happen that way. That's a fairy tale. You know what that's like? That's like the fairy tales you read to your children. Evolution is a fairy tale. It's a theory. It's not a fact. But something brought this world into existence. Some power brought all these elements together. What was it? What created it? The Hebrew word bara is found three times in the first chapter of the book of Genesis. In Genesis 1:1 and 21 and 27. This word signifies the creation of something which previously did not exist. Something was created that previously did not exist. The world did not exist. Man did not exist. The things that were created in the world did not exist. They were created. Who did it? Who was behind it? And what power brought it about? Material substance. Where did it come from? Just happened? Living substance. Living, breathing substance. Where did it come from? How did it arrive here? Imperishable substance. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Who created the soul? The eternal part of us that lives within us. Who did that? Did that just happen too? Did that just come about one day? No, he talked about cloning. That's something that's getting a lot of press here the last few years. How are you going to clone a soul? How are you going to do that? That's creation of God. How are you going to do that? the heavens. He created the earth and the heavens. He created the heavens and the earth. What's that mean, the heavens? That means space. Not nothingness, it means space. One of the dimensions of our universe is observed in three dimensions. Matter is made up of atoms, which are in three signatures of electrons, protons and neutrons. Now, I'm going to get a little detailed here for a minute. Only hydrogen is the exception, where there's only one electron and one proton. But notice the word power in both of these verses. The etymology of the word power means dynamite. It originates from this word, power. It upholds all things by the word of his power. Why does everything continue to exist? Remember that picture that used to have Charles Atlas holding up the world in his hand? Remember that? That's not how the world is sustained. You know why the world continues to spin and continues to move? Because God allows it. Because God allows it. He sustains it. You see, Paul tells us that even the attributes of God's eternal power and Godhead are seen by the things that are made. Did Paul tell us that? Yeah, Paul told us that. He told us that in Romans chapter 1 in verse number 20. He said, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen." What does he mean they're clearly seen? The attributes of God. And one of those attributes is power. Supreme power. Great power. How's it demonstrated? How's it seen? Being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Man has no reason not to believe in God. Because there is no answer to life that is logical, that is sensible, that is accurate without God in this discussion. God gives meaning to life. God gives meaning to power and to origin. Here are some facts that I found. The idea of stretching out the heavens. We read that in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. Matter. He created the heavens and the earth. Matter. The way the universe functions may serve as a signature from the Creator. In Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse number 3. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of God. In Romans chapter 1, we just read it, man's without excuse. I've told you everything is made up of electrons, protons, and neutrons. I want to read you something. This is amazing. See that paperclip? How much energy would be released if every atom were split? How much energy? Let me read you something. Here's a fun fact that I learned from PBS. The power of tiny things. This article noted that despite the fact that there is no way to convert a 0.03 ounce paperclip to energy, as such would require, what would it require to make a paperclip energy? What would it take to do that? It requires temperatures and pressures greater than the core of our sun. But if you could, how much energy would that equal using Einstein's E translated MC2? It is equal to the amount of 20 gallons of burning gasoline. It is equal to 1 ton of TNT. If you could harness this power by turning every one of its atoms into pure energy, it would yield about 18 kilotons of TNT. And if you don't know how much that is, that's about the size of the atomic bomb that destroyed Hiroshima. 100 pennies would have enough power to power the entire state of New York for 2 full days. So who put the power there? Where did that kind of power come from? Where did it come from? The one who put it there has the power to dissolve it. You know what? I think the Bible told us that, didn't it? Remember what 2 Peter 3 says? What is the world made up of? Elements. What's going to happen to the elements one day? Listen to what the scripture says in 2 Peter 3. Now the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens, that's space, will pass away with a great noise. And the elements, that's the earth, because that's what the earth is made up of, will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. Therefore, since all these things are to be dissolved, what matter ought you to be in life and holiness? You see, the premise is, whoever created it has the power to destroy it. And he can destroy it just like he created it. He spoke it into existence, he can spoke it out of existence. Can man do that? Man can't do that. Now, he can destroy a good part of it, and he has. You know, I get amused a lot about talking about the earth dying. You know about the people worry about our world dying and the earth dying. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God created it to die. God created this earth was never created to last forever. It is a temporary place. God created it that way. Of course it's dying because it was never intended to be eternal. The answer of God. This solves the riddle as to how and why the universe came into existence. Nature cries out that there was a beginning. Let me give you a simple thing. Why are we just far enough away from the sun that we get its warmth? But we're not close enough that we'd be turned into an ice bowl. Do you know if we were just a few millimeters closer to the sun, it would melt our planet. And if we were just a little further away, we would turn into an ice ball. Why are we exactly in the right spot? Oh, the Big Bang. Why does the world turn one time a year on its axis? And it takes 365 days for that to do one complete revolution. Why? Who made it that way? Why is the time in the Philippines 13 hours different than it is here? Because the world is in a different rotation. Who made it that way? How do you explain that? How do you explain that? Why do animals have instinct? Why do fish have fins? Birds have wings. And certain animals can live in the water and live on land, and other animals can only live in the water. But the ones that live in the water have bodies that are conducive to living in water. Those that live on the land have bodies that are conducive to living on land. That just happened? Did that just take place by accident? What about man? We're pretty complicated people. Do you know there's over 900 things, steps that have to take place for you to move your fingers like this? You know how many different parts of the eye there are? Hundreds. And it evolved. We crawled out of the water. We grew arms. We grew feet. We grew a skeleton system. We created a central nervous system. And we created a brain. And we began to think and we began to walk. And we evolved. Is that how it happened? And if it did, why is it not happening like that today? We originated from apes, right? How many of you ever been to a zoo? You ever gone back? After you've been there for a few years, is that ape still there in the same condition he was when you saw him 2 years earlier? But if that's how man evolved, why are those apes evolving into mankind today? Is an ape smart like a man? No, you know what animals can't do? They can't reason. You can train them, but they don't know how to act. So that you get them in a problem, they don't have the ability to think their way out of it. But one person does. One part of God's creation does. Who is that? That can think, that can reason, that can discern. Who can do that? Man can do that. And does it, who did God give dominion over all that he created? Who did he give the dominion to? He gave it to man. Because you know what? Because man's smarter than all the things that were created. What was the last thing God created? He created man last. You see, nature cries out that there was a beginning. Nature alone does not answer how the beginning began. We would be resulting in endless speculation. If there's not God, how do you explain it? How do you explain this world? How do you explain all the intelligent design? You know, when you look out in the parking lot and you see these automobiles, did they just create themselves? You know what that automobile tells you? That there was an automobile designer. Somebody built that car. Somebody had a blueprint for that car, and somebody built it with an engine and with everything that's in it. You know that somebody created it because it didn't appear there by itself. Now, how did the world get here? Somebody had to put it here. Who was that? Who was that? You know what? I can look out and I can see the sky. You know, when I lived in Las Vegas, I loved it. You know why? Because you could get, it's a valley. And you get in the middle of the valley and all around there are mountains. And if you go out into the desert, it's red rock. And the sunset, and it's beautiful. I've been to the Grand Canyon. I've seen places in the world. Men can't paint those landscapes. Men didn't do any of that. God did that. You know, it amuses me when I fly over the Grand Canyon, when I came back from meetings when I was in Vegas, and the captain would come over and say, on your left, on your window, you can look and see the Grand Canyon. 15 million years in creation. Like, that's a fact. God brought this world into existence in 6 literal days. People said that's impossible. For God? He didn't need 6 days. He could have done it in 6 minutes, 6 seconds. Oh, but Darwin's theory, evolution, that we evolved. People say that's intelligence. It is? No, that's not intelligence. That's wishful thinking. Bible answers that the beginning began with an eternal God. Everything starts and it will end with the same person. God. He brought it in. He'll take it out. Now, I believe that more than I believe anything. And I haven't seen anybody present me any evidence that would make me move my position. What is the relationship between God and the dimensions of nature? As the creator of time, God is over it and outside of it. What does that mean? Does time mean anything to God? Time doesn't mean anything to God. One day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like one day. Time doesn't exist for God's benefit. Time exists for us. He existed days, weeks, years, seasons. That exists for man. God doesn't need time. He's outside of time. God's eternal. He doesn't mark things by time. That's something he created for us. Behold, God is great, and we do not know him, nor can the number of his years be discovered. Job's right. We don't know how old's God. Anybody want to take a guess? How old's God? He's not marked by time, because God's eternal. 2 Peter 3, verse 8. Verse 8 says, but one day is with 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. You know, I admit there's days that it does seem like 1,000 years. But dear God, all that means is that God has no... You know what people, I've had people in prophecy, they take that passage and try to make it mean that there are certain days in the Bible that are 1,000 years long. That's not what Peter's talking about. He's showing that time has no meaning. doesn't understand like us. He does not have limited power like we do. He is not like us in any degree, except we have an eternal quality that he gave us that make us like him. Seen in the prohibition to making images. Why did God prohibit in the law that they were never to make an image in the earth or underneath the earth or in the water or in the air? Anything in the likeness of God, because that's not what God is. God is not a physical being of matter. That's not what God is. God is beyond our comprehension of what God is and what he can do. Seen in the insufficiency of dwelling in the temple. You know when Solomon made the temple, you know what he said at the dedication? I know that it is absolute nonsense for me to try to make a dwelling place for you to live on this earth. That's not why he built it. He didn't build it as a dwelling place for God, because God doesn't dwell on the earth. God dwells in his own home. While the universe and everything in it needed a beginning, God does not. Asking who created God would be as silly as asking who created the Creator. Only answer of a Creator God can solve the riddle as to the hows and the whys that the universe exists. In conclusion, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and everything that's contained therein. And the only reason that it continues to exist is because God sustains it by the same word of his power by which he created it. And you will never make sense out of life, out of this world, out of all the things that we struggle with to understand. We will never, ever make sense of it if we remove God out of our memory and out of our imagination. How did God, in his infinite wisdom, know? How did he know that the plan that he made before he created one thing would work? How did he know that? How did God know that when he began, when in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, from that point on, God had a plan to bring his son to this earth, to live and die, in order that man might be redeemed from the bad decisions that he would make? How did God know that's what man would do? You know how he knew? Because he created him. God knows what's in him. God knows his limits. God knows his weaknesses. God knows his frailties. God understands. And that's why in his word he makes provision for how we can take those frailties, take those weaknesses, take the shortcomings that we have, and that God provides a remedy that we can be what he would have us to be despite all those shortcomings, weaknesses, and failings. Why did God make provision for those things in his word? You know, I've had people tell me in my life, going through difficult times, going through difficult circumstances in their life, they say, you know, God just doesn't understand. Really? Could you ever find a situation in this world that God could not understand? That's silly, isn't it? What situation would you ever present to God that he wouldn't understand? He understands. And either this is how simple it is, ladies and gentlemen. Either Genesis 1:1 is a false statement or it's the truth. And if it's the truth, if Genesis 1:1 is the truth, an absolute truth, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. You know what that means? That means man is accountable to his creator. And as you said here this morning, you and I will give an account to our creator. Now you can deny it. You can disbelieve it. You can ridicule it. You can make fun of it. And you can try to imagine it away. But the day will come. The day will come when you will acknowledge that God was right. I've told you hundreds of times since I've been here that one thing that every person today, wherever they might be, in whatever grave they might be in, and whatever condition they left this world when they left it, of all the men and women who have died over the centuries, and there are billions, among all of them, there is not one unbeliever in God now. Not one. But it's too late to believe in God when you can't do anything about it to fix it. The time to fix it is now. If you're here and you are a child, not a child of God, you need to be one. Hearing the word of God, believing it, repenting of your sin, confessing his name, and submitting to baptism and contact the blood of Christ puts you into a covenant relationship with God. Brings you into the family of God. Puts you into the blessings that are in Christ. And one of those blessings are redemption, forgiveness. And then you must be faithful. But God knew that we would be unfaithful, that we would fall, that we would stumble, that we would lose our way from time to time. God knew that. So he provided another blessing. He provided the blessing of the blood of Christ that we could always access in order to get our sin forgiven when we fall short. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. If you were to ask me, do I understand all the ins and outs and the nature and the actions of God, do I understand them? I would gladly tell you without reservation, no, I do not. But here's one thing I would tell you. Anything that he does is okay with me because I believe he is smarter and knows more what I need than I do myself. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God knows what's best in your life even better than you do? You should, because he's the one that created you. Do you believe it? And are you living for him? Or are you trying to find your way? You can't find your way until you find God. And when you find God, he'll make sense of the madness. We can help you. We're here to do so. Together we stand as we sing.